Hi, Katie and Ada. There are a lot of wonderful and horrible things about the internet, but one of my absolute favorite aspects of the online hellscape is the wild and wacky world of fan theories. If you spend a long enough time online, you'll find fan theories about everything from Law & Order SVU to the Bible to Shrek, and many of them are delightful. But obviously on this podcast, we're about any and every theory that writes transness into seemingly cishet childhood favorites. Case in point, the renewed life of the early aughts show The Fairly Odd Parents. The show concerns Timmy Turner, a 10-year-old boy who hates his life, has shitty parents, and a sister who hates him, and just wants to live his goddamn life, damn it. Thankfully, he gets two surrogate queer parents, in the form of Cosmo and Wanda, who happen to be fairies with magical powers. Apart from the obvious implications of a chosen magical family of fairies to offset his own shitty parents, there's something more going on with Timmy. There's even a prominent fan theory on TikTok that explains that Timmy, according to some pretty concrete evidence, was born AFAB, and that the Timmy we're seeing now is undergoing his transition with the help of his fairy godparents. That's not the only gender fuckery afoot, of course. In one very special episode, Cosmo, the fairy godfather, becomes pregnant with a fairy baby, and things only get queerer from there. So join us on this ridiculous journey into the world of a trans boy, his chosen family, and a plot to destroy the world using one magical genderless baby. I am Henry Giardina. I'm a writer, a critic, and a trans guy. My pronouns are he, they.
I am Katie Coleman, a playwright and composer, a queer trans woman, and my pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Ada Rhode Short, an activist, robot brain scientist, and queer trans woman whose pronouns are she, her.
This is Totally Trans, Searching for the Trans Canon, where we talk about some of the most well-known figures from film, literature, and media.
And tell you why we think they deserve to be a part of the trans cultural canon.
And today, we're talking about the 2008 Fairly Odd Parents episode, Fairly Odd Baby.
But first, some context. The name Butch Hartman might sound like the most fantastic fictional lesbian character ever written. However, somewhat disappointingly, it belongs to the illustrator, writer, and director who conceived of the Nickelodeon cartoon The Fairly Odd Parents, which ran from 2001 to 2006 on the network and then was revived for a second run from 2007 to 2012. As a kid, Hartman adored classic animation like The Jungle Book, and loved 1950s and 60s sitcoms like The Honeymooners and The Brady Bunch. After starting out as an in-betweener animator on Don Bluth's An American Tale, Hartman spent years in the animation trenches before getting the opportunity to pitch an idea for his own show. When the time came, the pitch came together in 15 minutes. He drew a little boy, initially named Michael after his brother, then switched to Timmy after his other brother, and a fairy named Venus, who would later become Wanda. "I had never seen a fairy godfather before," Hartman explained on the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast in 2016. So he sketched the character that would become Cosmo, named after an especially animated Italian man who worked with Hartman at the studio. "Kids love secrets," he said, explaining how he hit upon the premise of giving Timmy, a miserable 10-year-old boy, magical godparents who could transform him and themselves into anything they wanted.
Most of the Fairly Odd Parents episodes involve Timmy wishing for something, getting a kind of fucked up version of that thing, and then spending the rest of the show trying to fix the damage his wacky friends set in motion. But in 2008, an hour-long special of the show premiered. The first episode of season 6, titled Fairly Odd Baby, concerns a wish Timmy makes when he learns that Wanda and Cosmo can't have children because of some arcane fairy rule. He wishes Cosmo pregnant, because with fairies it's the boy who carries the baby, and in doing so nearly destroys the universe via the innocent genderless magic of baby poof. This episode would receive the highest ratings in the show's history. Hartman attributes this to the time period. This was in 2008, before the total ascendancy of smartphones, when watching an episode of live network TV was still a thing that happened. Weird.
Whatever the reason for the episode's success, it was a pretty bold move for a pretty mainstream show. While Fairly Odd Parents often plays around with gender, it does have a somewhat old-fashioned sensibility when it comes to the non-fairy characters. This episode flips everything on its head, leaving viewers in doubt about the fairy baby's gender. a running joke until the very last moment.
So why is it important and why are we talking about it now? Well, one reason is the long-running TikTok theory that Timmy Turner was assigned female at birth, which, to be frank, makes a whole lot of sense when you think about it. It's also important to look at this episode as the culture once again, as it does every few years, decides to comically explore the idea of a, quote, pregnant man. A few weeks ago, the singer, songwriter, and all-around icon Lil Nas X put on a pregnancy prosthetic to troll fans before the release of his album Montero. Referring to the birth of his first full-length release, Nas made repeated reference to baby Montero, and even filmed a hilarious video of himself giving birth, to the record, in a hospital setting. Now, I find these antics fucking delightful, because anything Lil Nas X does, as far as I'm concerned, is good for the culture. However, a lot of trans guys felt upset and disrespected by Lil Nas X's treatment of male pregnancy as a joke. On Twitter, users linked to past instances of this trope, including the Arnold Schwarzenegger film Junior, which shows the star carrying a baby to term, and screenshots of this specific Fairly OddParents episode in which a pregnant Cosmo wanders around barfing and crying with a huge pregnant belly.
So what will we be talking about today? Well, we're going to look at the show and the many fan theories that sprung up around it over time, and talk about the pitfalls, and perhaps the unexpected freedoms, of representations of male pregnancy on screen. Fun!
Where to begin? Where to begin with this fucking episode?
Did either of you watch this show, previously?
I watched it, yes.
Yeah.
As a kid.
I watched, I guess, the first run of it. The second run of it would have been when I was in, like, my last couple years of high school, when my interaction with television was mainly Golden Girls and Frasier and then Adult Swim. I just watched TV from, like, 10 p.m. to, like, 3 a.m. while doing stuff on my computer. That sounds inappropriate. I was doing homework and writing code.
Sure.
Yeah, so I guess I missed this.
Yeah, I saw some episodes. I don't remember when the first run was, but I was probably in high school then, and I was doing so much theater. I didn't watch any TV, really. Like, if something came out when I was in high school, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I wasn't very up on, like, I remember watching this probably, like, when it first came out, because I think I was in middle school, 2001. I was in middle school. And I don't, I just kind of watched those, I just remember watching, like, Dexter's Laboratory and, like, I would just kind of watch cartoons, even if I didn't like them. I would just be like, well, this is fine. But I sort of remember liking this show, but I think, like, it's very loud. Like, watching it as an adult, I'm like, everyone's screaming, which I guess is normal for animation. Like,
it's very shrill. The thing that I came up with is I do not like this show. I mean, I know that's not relevant to our conversation.
The animation's not great, and
Yeah, I didn't even smile, I don't think.
I did, in a sentence I'm sure I'll regret, to defend Butch Hartman, I did like Danny Phantom quite a lot. I really liked it. I think I was just at the right age to be into this weirdly horny show about a ghost boy and a bunch of weirdly horny supernatural characters and, like, a hot goth girl and a lot of tension in that show. And it was coming out just as I was, hitting puberty and being like, oh yeah, this is exactly what confused me once. I sort of caught up in that vein of kids who saw Buffy too young and then were just glommed onto anything kind of horny and supernatural through their childhood up through Twilight. But this show's not very funny, I guess. I remember watching it a lot on Nickelodeon, but I don't think I ever, like, proactively was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this. It was like, well, there's nothing else on, so I guess I'll. To steal the segue really quick, since I brought up Butch Hartman to defend him and just Danny Phantom was good, is Butch Hartman bad?
Butch Hartman's real bad, y'all. I have a quick... So, a couple of things that he did, like, you can find his many crimes online, but the main thing that he did was that he, after he parted ways with Nickelodeon, after this show ended, and he had another show after this that wasn't very successful, he decided he was going to crowdfund, like, a new streaming service, like, animation network, and he, like, partnered with some other people, and he started a Kickstarter, and it was called Oaxis, and he raised $268,000 for it, and then was later caught on video at a Christian conference telling all of these, like, evangelicals that this streaming service is going to be a Christian network, and he had to be, quote, hip to draw in the secular people, and that's why he didn't tell anybody on the Kickstarter that it was for a Christian streaming wow. service. And then everybody got really mad about that because they gave him all their money. Also, that happened in 2018, and there has still been nothing from the streaming service. It is still not... So he took their money. Also, he's made a lot of really questionable social media posts. He blamed depression and suicide on modern media. He said kids were tougher when he was a kid and that he doesn't believe in depression. He plagiarized a fan art for a commission. And he's transphobic, too. And you can find deleted tweets online where he mocks trans women. So that's fun.
Boo, Butch Hartman.
Yeah, that's no good.
What a jerk.
Apparently he's super litigious, too, so we can look forward to that.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, as much as, like, none of us really like this show, I find this episode interesting because it's sort of like, with probably without knowing it or without trying to, based on what we know about Butch Hartman, it gets to the center of, like, a lot of interesting things about, like, queer parenthood and the way in which babies are instantly weaponized by shitty assholes, which I thought was interesting, because, like, that is how babies are treated. It's like, oh, like, it's a concept that we fight over, and then the minute the baby is born, it's like, it kind of doesn't matter anymore, but, like, the ideological battles around, like, abortion, and also the whole thing about, like, who gets to have a baby and who gets to adopt, like, obviously none of it's explicit here, but it is, it does sort of tell this story about, like, okay, these two people who can't, quote, can't have a baby, and then it's immediately weaponized against them and, like, taken away.
By various factions who are all trying to use it for their own gain, yeah.
Precisely. Which is a little bit true to life, I gotta say.
I mean, yeah, I've been... So I'm writing this play right now about a trans woman who gets pregnant, and, like, a lot of this is very relevant to kind of the issues around that. And, like, the thing is, like, that is conceivably something that can happen in our lifetime, right? I mean, in my play, it's done by magic. But in the real world, it is, you know, the science is basically there, right? It is something that could conceivably happen in the next 20 years. And the media circus that will descend on that woman when that happens, I can't imagine. Yeah. And so that's a lot of what I was thinking about when watching this, about there's these different evil factions who are all trying to use the concept of this baby to further their own agenda to destroy the world. I saw the anti-fairies as TERFs, and that might be just because of the British accent. It's hard to say.
No, that makes sense. I was kind of like, what is the difference between the pixies and the anti-fairies? And I figured that, like, the pixies are, like, the Agent Smith types, which sort of, like, plays into the whole, like, the Agent Smith types see, like, kind of are TERFs. You never quite see, like, everyone's like, oh, if this baby gets into the wrong hands, like, bad things could happen. But, like, it all happens because they, like, manipulate the baby. Like, it's funny how, like, a baby, which, like, can't really do anything, even if it's fucking magic, like, is imbued with so much power by, like, people who fear it, or people who fear the idea of, like, a queer family or, like, a trans pregnancy or whatever. Like, there is such a fucking hysteria. And I don't know if y'all remember the Thomas Beatty situation.
Yeah, of course. Like, cover of every tabloid.
Oh my God.
He went on Oprah, right?
Yeah, it was just like a media circus, and everyone was just like, ha ha, this is funny. And, like, yeah, obviously that's sort of been the media context for, like, the idea of a pregnant, at least trans man or, like, trans non-binary person, but, like, and that still comes back, and I guess that's why people are upset with Lil Nas X, but, like, it's also, I don't know, I guess until we see, like, an actual, like, example in the media of, like, a loving and, like, serious trans, like, pregnancy and birth. Like, it's gonna be that, like, oh, haha, seahorse dads thing, and it's just kind of like, that sucks.
Well, like, Tristan Ringis, when he had his babies, that was handled, like, pretty seriously by the press, and I think a big part of that is he's very good at sort of the image control on that and working with press staff, but then it just didn't make a splash. I think that that's the other part of it, is I feel think when those stories have kind of broken through in a way that's been taken more seriously, just because it doesn't get sensationalized as much, it just doesn't get the visibility. So it's kind of this really awkward situation where any more positive visibility or more positive handling doesn't get seen, versus more toxic approaches to it or more sensational views of it seem to.
Of course. Yeah, it makes it a better story for, you know, for OK Magazine to sell copies.
Right. The esteemed. Yeah. And, like, even recently, like, when they... I mean, we always have to deal with this whenever there's a fucking emoji update, which is like every 5 minutes. It's like the pregnant man emoji. It's like, it's coming. And like half of the world was like, cool. Maybe not half the world, but like part of my world was like, cool. And then other people were like, that's stupid and dumb. And like we have the same debates when it's like, oh, like you can have like a like lady with facial hair that, like, people always fucking freak out, and then other people are like, that's so cool, and there doesn't seem to be much of, like, a middle ground where it's just, like, normalized. Like, it's still, like, extremes. Like, something about the idea of pregnancy and trans people. I can't imagine why people are simply upset. I mean, it's dumb.
I have a question about a specific moment in this, just because I want to kind of check about it. When it was leading up to the part where Timmy wished Cosmo would go away, what did y'all think was gonna happen as that sentence was starting? Because I thought that he was gonna wish for the baby to be aborted, like, metaphorically.
Jesus Christ!
I did not think that at
all. Yeah.
No, when Timmy was like, I'm done with this pregnancy, it's not fun anymore. I seriously thought that was the direction it was going to go for a second, and that was going to be, like, the big horrible conflict.
That would be a very sad episode. I don't think Timmy knows about abortion yet. Maybe he does, I don't know.
But maybe this is how Timmy learns about abortion, I guess, is he wishes that there is no baby, and then they lose the baby.
No!
And then Timmy has to wish for the baby to come back, I guess. Is where I thought that was going to go for a second, and apparently I'm a monster for thinking this.
No,
it's a concern.
Check,
no, it's a concern.
Maybe in 2021, thinking. Like we could have that on television, but in 2008, and by Butch Hartman, I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
You're
saying children's animation is ready for stories about abortion?
That's Why right. Not? That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. I like this. I like this America. Sorry, I just had to put that in there really quick. I feel like this is related to just...
I mean, that would be a good episode of TV.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with the moment. Like, the first, like, 3 minutes of this episode are the gayest fucking thing. Because it's like, Cosmo and Wanda, they're, like, in the park, and there's this, like, a clearly cishet lady with a baby, and they're, for whatever reason, they're, like, baby crazy, and they're like, aww, and she's just like, I just don't know why any couple wouldn't want a baby. And it's just, like, just being queer in a nutshell. It's both, like, people being assholes about the fact that you maybe don't want a traditional family, and then people being assholes about the fact that maybe you do want, like, you're fucked either way. Like, God forbid you try to have a baby or adopt a kid, and then people are even more mad, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that first scene, like, bursting into tears because you can't bear a child was very relatable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was deep. And then Cosmo being the one to get pregnant was an interesting choice, obviously, but sort of arbitrary. Like, I think what I enjoyed about that choice is, like, if it had been Wanda who had been pregnant, then, like, the whole arc of, like, how I act when I'm pregnant would have been so sexist. It already is.
It's pretty sexist,
but, like, it would be even worse if this was, like, a woman doing it, and I was like, oh, wow, like, do people really think that having a baby is just, like, you go crazy and start projectile vomiting? Because, like, there's some nuance to it.
Yeah.
Some layers.
It seemed to be, like, I mean, based on this episode and the fact that I haven't seen another episode of this in, you know, easily 10 years or longer, it seems like he's the irrational one. Like, he's the chaos Muppet and Wanda is the order Muppet. So it seems like that's why they made that decision. Like,
yes, that makes sense. And they just, I love how in this show, they're just like, everybody knows the boy has the, like, they just make up rules and everybody's like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, and I think that was something I literally just wrote down the note. Is this misogynistic? Question mark when I was watching that is what I have on my little clipboard.
Yeah.
Because it felt not okay at times because it was like hysterical women. And then that kind of feeds, I guess, back into kind of like the kind of trans misogynistic, but the other way, trans misandristic.
I've never heard that before. There you go.
Yeah, but it's very, like, it gets really weird at there, I think, especially during the baby shower. It's like, sort of peak, women are irrational, and what if men were like women and had babies? And
yeah, that's the joke. Weird. Yeah.
That's the joke, which feels not great.
Not great.
Yeah.
There's also a fair amount of racism going on with the burrito humor. That was sort of the era when people were like, it's funny to make fun of foods that aren't for white people or by white people. Like, I was kind of like, they're going to keep doing this joke? Like, oh, okay.
They do the same joke over and over again. Like, these people never heard of the rule of three. Like, they do the grape jelly thing. They do they call him Tommy thing. They do, like, they find a joke and then they just keep doing it over and over again.
The baby's name keeps changing. Although I did like that aspect a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. And they picked the gayest names they possibly could.
Yeah, Fauntleroy, Flojo,
hold on, I have them all written down.
Yeah. Well, it just ends up being Poof, which I love.
Very gay. A fairy named Poof? Yeah.
Twinkle, Kajagoogoo, Keanu, Liza, Farah.
Yeah.
Kajagoogoo, the 80s band, of course, who sings Hush Hush.
Neverending Story.
Yes.
As well.
Oh, yeah? Do they sing the theme song to Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Very gay inflected. And, like, I don't understand how you make a show like this where it's, like, about surrogate parents who are weird and kooky and you are, like, not conscious of the gay subtext there. Like, what? How?
Yeah, and like a lot of the other characters, like, there's two, I mean, all the anti-fairies are gay-coded, and then there's the gay-coded piano-playing, like, good fairy, too.
Yes, the pink-haired fairy who goes to Rio.
Stupid.
God.
My favorite. And, like, 2008 was, of course, Prop 8, so that makes it even a little more spicy and interesting. Just, like, there was a lot going on in the culture. A lot of fears.
Something else that I thought was interesting throughout this, and I guess this is something that maybe would have been harder to not get right now, that then in 2008, you're like, I guess that makes sense. But while they're speculating about the baby's gender, it's always like, he/she, and just like shouting that, and then like, which just feels very weird.
They use it quite a lot, which I like. I love an it pronoun, especially for a baby, because I don't believe babies are real humans until maybe 5 years old. Till they talk. They're not real. Sorry.
Do you think babies don't talk till they're 5, Henry?
4? When do they talk? When they can form sentences and sound interesting.
Okay, all right.
5.
Yeah.
5?
When they can converse is what you're talking about.
When they can be a human being rather than like a shitting, crying machine who's obnoxious. That's when a baby is a human being. Before that, no.
Sure.
I'm sorry. But that's how I feel.
Well, now we know where you stand on the humanity of babies.
Yeah.
In high school, I used to explain, and I still kind of feel this way, that, like, I would be like, I'm pro-abortion, and people would be like, no, you're pro-choice. I'd be like, no, I'm pro-abortion. I don't like babies. I don't enjoy them. I think the world's populated enough. I think just go get one if it's cool. It's fine. So I still feel that way.
You're breaking both of our hearts, I think.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry. There's got to be one anti-baby person in a group at any time just to keep things
okay,
spicy.
Well, so would like to point out that 2/3 of this podcast, at least, is pro-baby.
I love a baby. Babies are cute. They're good.
There you go.
They do baby things. All primo stuff.
Their heads smell great.
They do that. But you know what else? Puppies. Also kittens.
Yeah.
They're pretty cute.
Babies and puppies.
They're all good.
They're all good. Though they are in competition to find out who's cutest.
We should start a new... It's like the puppy bowl. You know when they have the puppies...
Of course.
I guess compete. I've never actually watched it. They should
I
do
think
that,
they just
it's
play.
Babies versus puppies.
Yeah.
And we'll find out which one's better. Once
who would win? Would win?
I feel like puppies would definitely win.
We'd start definitely World War III with that.
And scratch the pieces out of the babies.
Yes.
Yeah, those puppies are going to fuck
up. Yeah, the babies would just drool the whole But yeah, you know, did at any point, did either of you feel like they were just going to not announce the gender of the baby? Like, we have that sort of goofy reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted that to happen.
I totally hoped it was going to stay a completely unknown mystery gender.
What did you think about how they revealed the gender of the baby?
Yeah.
Gross. It was gross.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Can you explain what happened?
So it's a first-person shot of them changing the baby's diaper for the first time. And... Wanda, I believe, gets it right in the face with what you assume is urine, but is actually water. And Timmy says, it's a boy. And you think it's because he peed on her. And in reality, it's his boys love squirt guns. And you see the baby's holding a squirt gun, which is true.
Sure.
Boys do love squirt guns. But I feel like people of all genders... love squirt guns. And they land on the name Poof, which I think we alluded to, but yeah, the baby his final name is Poof. And I assume he shows up later. Like, he remains a part of the cast, right? Like, he doesn't just disappear.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I believe
Poof
so.
Poof stays around. A baby fairy named Poof is an incredibly gay sentence.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
Very
also,
pro that.
Did anyone pick up on the fact that Poof is essentially Elsa from Frozen? Like, it's the same exact thing, where, like, oh, like, I'm happy, I'm gonna make, like, ice cream. I'm sad, it's an ice cream monster. Literally, that happens in Frozen. Somebody's gotta sue somebody. Like,
yeah,
same
she gets
exact...
angry, and then that makes the evil snowman, right? Yeah.
It's like her emotions sort of dictate how the power works. So, like, oh, I build a magical ice kingdom, or, like, I build a scary snow monster, and that's exactly sort of what the baby... It's like, when the baby burps, there's lightning, and when the baby cries, there's, like, a month, bad things happen, and when it laughs, good things happen.
And most importantly, when it farts, it seems to... bring the universe back in harmony?
Yeah, it heals.
It's not quite explained, but basically the entire climax is a fart joke.
Yeah, and you see, like, everyone going back in time, and then, like, the universe, like,
volcanoes collapse into the ground, yeah.
Yeah, some found footage of, like, old cars for some reason. I was like, what's going on?
Which
with
was
that.
Really common on cartoons then, I think. I think that, like, old, like black and white live-action footage spliced in was really common.
It's kind of weird to be talking about a TV show from, like, Nickelodeon during this era, when I feel like the other animated stuff we've talked about has either been, like, the Disney Renaissance, or, like animated stuff after this that has been, like, really, I guess, like... more high concept and, like, thought out and stuff.
Yeah.
It, like, makes me think about, like, oh, was the TV we had when we were kids trash compared to what's, like, what came right after us? Like, Adventure Time was really good. What else
Talking
about?
Animation.
Gravity
wise,
Falls. Like,
Gravity Falls.
The world building in Gravity Falls and Adventure Time is, like, 1,000 times better than The Fairly Odd Parents, for sure.
And the animation on those shows is, like, just beautiful. And, like, I feel like the Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon style was very flat and very sort of, like, retro for a long time. And the, like, just very kind of, like, here's, like, a figure and it, like, it moves its feet. And I feel like movement became a bit more fluid The fact that this is 2008 means to me that it, like, should look a bit better than it does. But maybe they were trying to be consistent.
It seems a lot older. It seems very 90s to me. Like, I was surprised at how relatively recent it was, yeah.
Also, like, how, like, it's interesting that Butch Hartman sort of, like, started in the era where people were still, like, actually, like, drawing animation and doing, like, being an in-betweener on Don Bluth and be like, oh, you need to draw, like, 40, and he said he would, like, get paid by the foot or something. It's like, you need to do 40, like, in-between, like, slides of this mouse so that, like, there's motion. And then at some point, I'm not sure exactly when, obviously, it switches to digital.
Okay, weirdly, so one of the first big animated things that was done all digitally was the Sissy Duckling, the HBO...
What?
Yeah, the HBO Harvey Firestein animated movie about a gay duck.
What?
Who disappoints his father.
What?
Starring Harvey Firestein and Andy Dick and Bulldog from Frasier is in it.
What?
Who else is in it? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I need to watch this movie immediately.
Clearly,
it's called the
yeah.
Sissy Duck?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Sissy Duckling. Like the ugly duckling, but it's Harvey Firstein as a duck.
Wow.
And he's explicitly gay?
He's,
It's from a book.
I don't think he uses the word gay. They use sissy all the time, and he's
don't
very
like
gay.
Yeah.
This looks great.
No, it's kind of amazing and horrible. And yeah, everyone should go watch it. It's on HBO.
Oh, I will.
One of my favorite things that exists. I own it.
I'm sorry, but if this is supposed to be a gay duck, what the fuck is that hair?
He puts on a vest later. He puts on a little, like, I think it's like a, I want to say turquoise vest, if that helps.
This is insane.
It's an incredibly gay duck. And then everyone, it's just a super gay, weird animated movie that was done using digital animation. But one interesting thing about it is you can kind of like see the digital animation definitely was really rough and it's like kind of weird and pixely at points. But technology of animation aside, I think that just the storytelling place that this kind of came out of is really interesting because like I feel like cartoons in the 90s, well, like 80s was like action cartoons and a lot of epicness. And then in the 90s, everything because of the rules around like what you could put in children's television became really like saccharine and like overly like pro-social and educational and kind of like hokey. And then we have all these cable shows start popping up that they're like, oh, we don't need to meet broadcasting standards. So instead of making really heartfelt stuff that had to be like educational or like Captain Planet, where it's like, oh, we have to protect the planet, or Power Rangers, where it's like teamwork. Instead, it's now just really dumb jokes. Like, I understand why parents complained about just like, this TV is rotting brains. Because it was just dumb when you look at what's compared to like standard fare right now on like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or Disney. Yeah. Like I've been watching Owl House with my girlfriend and that's super cute and queer and wholesome and kind of Satanist, which is wild. It's really great. So I think what's really interesting about that is when we contrast sort of like messages around gender we had maybe in like cartoons in the 80s and 90s where a lot of it was like, girls can be cool, too, I feel like was a lot of the message. And then what we have now where it's like, hey, gender, ? Is where a lot of cartoons are at. Or, like, characters with they-them pronouns, like in Craig of the Creek. Or I think there's several on Cartoon Network with characters that are explicitly non-binary. But then this era, it's just, like, dumb and kind of misogynistic and homophobic and transphobic, just as, like, lazy jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, joke after fuck it. Like, they just keep hitting you in the face. Like, that's a thing. I can handle it with live action if the jokes are funny, but if there's no room to breathe and you're just getting, like, punched with, like, very loud, aggressive humor and, like, very sort of, like, with no time to sort of pop. And, like, everything happens very quick. There are a lot of cuts and sort of, like, in a certain way, I was just like, this, I'm getting stressed. Like, this is stressful.
And it seems, it's condescending, I think. Like, it seems like, oh, this is for little kids, so it has to be, you know, stupid, and we can't lose their attention and all of that. I think that the arc of creating shows for children has kind of come over that hump in a way to where there's a little bit more respect for children's intelligence.
I feel like the non-binary characters that happening now are interesting because it's like they always have, like, there was one on a Madagascar spinoff, I believe, and then there was another one, and like they both like, there's always a song because I always have to write a fucking article about anytime there's a non-binary cartoon, like, and it's always like they have a very cutesy song that's like, it's not enough to just, like, use they-them pronouns or be non-binary. They have to, like, educate. They have to be like, it's okay to not have label. And I'm just like, shoot me in the face right now. Because, like, if this is representing, like, stop. Like, you're making this fucking non-binary cartoon do labor in your cartoon? Just, why is it, why do they have to be a fucking educational teachable moment? Just, like, if you're gonna do it and make it normal. Like, chill.
Go watch The Owl House. Because in the second season, you meet Ida's ex, who is non-binary. It's never explained. They just use they, them pronouns, are played by a non-binary person. And, I mean, it's like a magical world. So they're, like, technically not human. They're a witch. But that's, like, the human default species in this world, outside of the one human who is sent there, or she ended up there when she was trying to not get sent to conversion therapy by her mother.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The Owl House is wild. It's a wild ride. But what's interesting, too, is I think that that's also... I don't think I've seen any sort of more transmasculine characters really done well before that character. Who I want to say their name is Rain. That can't be correct. On Owl House. That was, like, explicitly a transmasculine character, and handled okay. Can neither of you think of, like, what's, I guess, when have you seen actually transmasculine characters depicted in animation? It's really easy to point to trans feminine characters that are super trans misogynistic. See so much of The Simpsons, but,
oh God, yeah.
Where do you two stand on that? Do you know any?
The only thing I can think of, oddly enough, is it's not animated, but it is a comic strip. And in Alison Bechdel's Dykes to Watch Out For, there's a character named Jerry, and it's handled very well because it's Alison Bechdel. She can do no wrong. And it's basically like they do use him to sort of have this argument, this like turf argument. And I think it's like he enters the comic maybe 1992. And, like, Lois is like, yeah, like, his name's Jerry, and, like, he works at the auto shop, and, like, you might have known him under this name. And then, like, Mo is like, no, why couldn't he have just been a dyke? And they, like, sort of have these arguments through the strip, and then, like, Mo begins to learn and understand. But, like, that's in the early 90s, and obviously we're still having those conversations.
Yeah.
But that's a good example of, like, a really good character that happens to be trans and is interesting and respectfully done.
Yeah. I've always been bummed there's never been any attempt to adapt, like, to watch out for into another format. Because they also... Well,
thank
also,
God.
Something I really love is Mo is very much Alison Bechdel's stand-in.
Yes.
But then in the two cases... where there's, like, trans characters that have to deal with one of the other characters being kind of, like, transphobic, instead of giving that to another character, Alison Bechdel always gave that to Mo, because Mo's
right.
Also weird about, what's her name? The trans girl that is in the Lesbian Avengers, and, like, it's the famous, like, bathroom strip where she goes to the bathroom, and then Mo goes into the bathroom, and Mo has someone be like, excuse me, this is a women's restroom, and then the trans girl's like,
oh, fuck.
She's supposed to be in here. And, like, stands up for her, for Mo being in the bathroom.
Because
Mo's, like, more butch and gets in trouble. Because people assume that Mo's a trans woman. Because it's that thing that happens in bathrooms to butch women instead of trans women.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like... And, I mean, with comic strips, it's obviously a lot more sort of, like, polemical and, like, here's the issue of the week. And, like, we'll be talking about Bush today. Or, like, we're talking about, like, the oil wars or whatever. But, like, they do... It is interesting that, like, they sort of... That she portrays that moment where, like, some, like, dykes started identifying as trans guys. And, like, people were upset. And people are kind of still upset.
What about, did you answer this? Can you think of any examples of like trans masculine characters in children's?
I can't. No, I can't think of any. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't watch a lot of it anymore. I should. I need to catch up on a lot of that stuff.
I think it's kind of that thing we see a lot with like how transphobia in pop culture, how visibility in pop culture up until really recently has been entirely just transphobic. And when most people, at least in America and most of Western culture, think of a transphobic joke, it's like trans misogynistic. Or when they just try and think of like a funny thing with gender, it's always like trans misogynistic.
Yeah.
And they're therefore like trans men both get less visibility in that way where like, I don't know about you, Katie, but I had moments where I felt seen in problematic characters that like were written to be really trans misogynistic, and I'm like, well, that's all I've got. So for trans men, like they don't get that, but they can get protected a little bit from the transphobia because they're like, it's just invisible. So that's not great. It's just a different struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the interesting thing of like, we are like sort of protected in that like there's a lot less violence against us, and we're not sort of like held up as like a thing to be feared. It's more like, oh, like why would you like do that? It's more like people are confused, or they just like do not know. Like, I'm convinced that like most people don't know what a trans guy is. Like, they're just like have no context for it, because like even like, yeah, we're not very visible. Like, even technically, I'm sure, like just walking around in LA, like, I'm sure, like, I pass by trans guys all the time, but, like, I don't fucking know. I have no idea. So, like, yeah. In my mind, it's like, I'm the only trans guy in the world, except for, like, the people on TV and, like, my friends and what, like, it's a very weird thing. But also, like, it affords you a certain amount of safety and anonymity, which is, like, great. But also, have either of you read or heard of this comic?
This is the one that you told me about. Yeah.
It's so fucking good. It's from the 90s, and basically every character is trans. And it's a T for T. It's like the main character is kind of a trans mask named Catherine, and she meets a trans woman, and they sort of fall in love, and it's very sweet.
Really quickly, what's the title for people who are listening, because this is a radio format and you're showing us pictures?
Yeah, sorry.
And what is the, who's the writer?
It's called How Loathsome, and it's by Ted Naifa and Tristan Crane, and it's definitely out of print. But it's really beautiful. It's one of my favorite just books, things. I read it over and over and over again. And it's very like, it just gets it really right about just like feeling like an outsider in your own community in a way that, like, I'm sure this was written maybe, I think, 1999. And it's like the character is kind of non-binary, but like doesn't refer to themselves that way, doesn't have that language, and is just like looking for community and sort of not finding it anywhere. And it's just like a very sort of honest, interesting look at that, because that's not something I see a lot. I read Steven Universe's trans mask, but obviously there's like a reason, and there's definitely like a lot there, but like it's of course not explicit, and Rebecca Sugar is, I think, non-binary, not, I don't believe they identify as trans mask, so it's kind of like
there's a lot of, it's mostly theories and headcanons and all that. I mean, all the characters on She-Ra, for example, are headcanon just being trans one way or the other. Yeah.
Jem and the Holograms.
Yeah.
And is there any more explicit trans masculine character in She-Ra? There's Double Trouble, who's non-binary. But then there's, I think that's the only, there's not a lot. She-Ra doesn't have a lot of explicit trans representation.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess is fine. They're going at, they're doing their best. And then there's Pidge in the modern Voltron, but that's like ambiguous because like Pidge comes out as a girl like partway through the show, and is like, I've been a girl all along. It's really cute because I love Pidge. I like giant robot animals, and I like tiny redheads with circular glasses. Go figure.
Hi there. We don't have anyone to thank this week, but we do have the jaws of capitalism to feed. So, you know the drill. We got merch, we got Redbubble, we got TeePublic, we got shirts that say stuff like Force from America, which is a message that we all believe in. So yeah, head on down, and we will see you next week. Thanks, y'all.
What are the places where you've read trans masculinity into characters, I guess specifically from childhood? We've talked about like Steven Universe a bit or She-Ra, but I don't know, are there places where like you look at characters from your childhood and you're like, oh, I always thought of that character as like in some way trans masculine, or a character, this is one I had a lot, characters that in my head I'm like, oh, this is a boy character, even though they were like explicitly a girl. Like, I felt that about Ducky from The Land Before Time. In my head, I'm always like, Ducky is a boy, yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then is supposed to be a girl. Or actually, weirdly, also Petrie is another one where I'm like, there's a lot of weird...
Yeah.
Neither of those characters feels like fully cis to me.
Both oh, man, more, I need like, to see that movie again.
That, I cannot. Like, Don Bluth, I will just cry for
too
days.
Sad. Yeah.
Oh, I put on All Dogs Go to Heaven. Tears.
Oh,
tears.
God.
I that fucking love
rough.
That movie. It's really rough.
I can't
oh
believe that movie was like came out and was for kids. Like,
and The Fievel. Everything Don Bluth makes is so fucking heartbreak. Rats of Nim, kill me. Put a knife through my heart, please. Oh my god. No, but a big one, I think, like the obvious one is Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird. Very, very clearly trans masculine.
Yeah. Yeah.
To a T, like it's not even to me. It's explicit. Like it. They don't have the language. If we were doing an episode, and we probably will at some point on Scout, it would be all but explicit because like there just isn't the language around it. But like, she is not a girl. They are not a girl. And also, I would say, yeah, like Fievel. Like there are a good number of like cartoon animal soft boys that are like technically boys, but it's kind of like just because at that time they were like, well, kids stories are about boys going on adventures, but like Bambi, no, there's a lot of gender shit going on with Bambi, like that is not a cis character at all.
And Flower as well,
Thumper,
they're all super trans in that. But yeah, Bambi, yes. I guess I always thought was a girl watching it, and then it was like, oh wait, this is boy, and that's confusing.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's like a meme, like Bambi's a boy is a shocking statement. Yeah.
It is, yeah, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. On my coffee table, I have all of these, it's like pinups, it's from this old magazine of like trans pinups called Transvestites from Around the World that I found in a queer archive and then printed on pastel paper. But it has like their name and where they're from. So I like Mod Podged it on my coffee table. And one of them is named Bambi. And first of all, she's super fucking cute. But then also, it's just this whole thing of like, yeah, that's wild that there's a lot of gender stuff tied up in Bambi. That
oh my God.
Is interesting. And then also like the expectation of masculinity. How have we not done Bambi?
Oh, we'll get to Bambi. I think we all have to deeply prepare. Also, if we ever do Dumbo, I will need so, because I can't stop crying. There are some cartoons where I will just cry. Charlie. Yeah. Charlie already knows I'm just getting upset just thinking about Dumbo.
When all that Disney stuff, though, like every Disney movie from like the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, because the moms always die horrifically. And for me, like that's, I can't think about moms.
Yeah.
I can't. The trunk reaching through the fucking, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's
it's too sad.
Something interesting that happens a lot in animation as well, that happens in The Fairly Odd Parents, is Timmy's voiced by Tara Strong, who also voiced Raven on Teen Titans, and she was one of the Harley Quinns. She wasn't the original Harley Quinn, but she was Harley Quinn in a few versions of Batman. And she's one of the ponies, My Little Pony. She's in a bunch of stuff, but it's, she also played some
I believe she's Rainbow Dash.
Oh. No, is she? I
don't know.
She's the booky one. I don't think Rainbow Dash
is she Twilight Sparkle?
One. Twilight Sparkle, that's what she is, yeah. Twilight Sparkle. She is...
Oh, yeah, you're
right. She plays Timmy, which we didn't really talk about, is that Timmy is, like, voiced by a woman, which is a common practice in animation.
Yeah,
Mark Simpson is also voiced by a woman. Bobby Hill is voiced by a woman.
Yes.
Tommy
Pickles, also Tommy a
Pickles.
Trans mask icon. Yeah.
Tommy Pickles is also Tara Strong, right?
No, Tommy Pickles is Ichi Daily.
Oh, no, it's Dill Pickles was,
oh, was okay.
Tara Strong, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Chucky is also trans.
How does that play into, like, how we view gender in children's animation and, like trans masculinity in animation? Is that, like, the people who give voice to these characters that are supposed to define, like, boyhood and, like, all of those things are often women?
Yeah, and it's also, I think, like, in the opening theme song, it says, you know, Timmy Turner is a normal boy, and it shows this, like, flash of everyone on the bus making fun of and bullying him.
Like, yeah.
I think that part of the way that these shows are designed is you have to have this conflict. You have to have this reason. Like, he's isolated. And that's very common as well. In, like, any time, the protagonist has to be in a certain amount of pain, in a certain amount of isolation, in order for, like, the story to take place. And so that grafts really well onto a trans read, I think, as, yes. You know, someone who feels isolated and or alienated, bullied, you know, etc.
Misunderstood. And, like,
yeah.
I love how... one thing I do really enjoy about Fairly Odd Parents as a concept...
Oh my God.
...is that... I like cartoons where the parents are either completely absent or they're just fucking assholes. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street is exactly the same. Like, the parents serve no function. And to me, that's kind of real, just about, like, being a teenager, like, cis or trans. It's kind of like, these fucking assholes, like, they can't help me. Like, they don't even pay attention. Like, and meanwhile, yeah. Like, kids are dying in their sleep in gruesome ways, and the parents are like, so I'll be at dinner with Rick and, like, I'll swing by with the car. And, like, Tommy's parents are, like, just vain idiots, basically, which I'm like, yeah, that's real.
Are these trans masculine traits feeling like a discordance between an internal voice and your physicality and feeling isolated and feeling like you can't relate to your parents or that your priorities or understanding of how the world functions is fundamentally different?
Yeah. Can't relate to your parents or your sister or, in large part, your friends or anybody except, and this is why I like the antidepressants theory as well, like, I think Fairly Odd Parents gets right through metaphor / allegory the idea that, and I know this was true for me, that when you are that isolated, and since we live in the real world and can't have fairy godparents, the closest thing to that is developing parasocial relationships or just obsessions with art. And, like, you know, like, I've always, as a kid, I would just get really interested in somebody and be like, this is really my best friend, even though I've never met them and they're but, like, those are the things I'd invest my energy in because I just gave up complete fucking hope on anybody else. And, like, I still do that. I'm like, Stephen Sondheim is my best friend and my husband. Like,
oh, me too.
I don't know anyone else. Yeah, we're all married to Stephen. But, like,
nerd.
That's a very real thing. I think, like, developing parasocial relationships, like, be it on Twitter or, like, just by, like, watching movies a lot and, like, escaping into your own head, like, that's very real.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
yeah, especially if you grew up in a small town where there's no queer community, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially. Yeah, and before you can even go to, like,
yeah, we have the Rent soundtrack instead.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, you're like, Angel is my friend.
Yeah, and sometimes the bars are not safe places. You
right.
know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
even if,
like,
you can't go to a bar.
Yeah, we had gay bars, and they were not... They're not safe places for... underage
Henry and
queer
I went
people.
To Sugarland in Brooklyn. That was not a
good
place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Cock?
No.
No.
Oh,
I went
the
to
game,
Pieces a lot.
It's on 2nd Avenue at like maybe even 1st Street or right around Houston. Yeah, the Cock.
Ooh.
Was rough.
Neglected to hit that up.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Rough Cock. Is that what you're after, Katie?
That's
Yeah.
I need to cut that out.
Never. I don't know if either of you have wondered this, or maybe it's just a weird idea that I have, but I always have thought, especially living in New York, I'm like, why the fuck are there gay bars, but there aren't trans bars? Like, quite frankly, I would love just a
trans bar. There's gotta be.
There's trans corners in gay bars. Like,
but
I feel like...
A trans bar. Trans bartender, trans owned... Only trans people.
Yeah.
Check at the
only
door.
Only trans people.
Okay,
yeah, that
but...
could get messy. But.
Yeah. I mean, you would attract a lot of chasers, would be hard.
That's yeah, that would true. Be. You're describing a chaser bar.
Yes.
Yeah, and it would be hard to have
money. We can't
have
nice
like,
things.
Well, yeah. What was that dating app that was supposed to be like the dating app for trans people, and it's just all like weird chaser dudes? Do either
I
you
don't
know what
know.
I'm talking about?
No.
It has a horrible...
It sounds like a nightmare,
logo.
Yeah.
I think it's called Tammy, is that
is it? Chaser?
C-H-A-S-R?
I mean, yeah. C-H-A-S-R would be... At least you'd know what you're getting into, instead of this was, like, advertised as, like, T for T relationships, and then you get on there, and it's, like, 10,000 chaser dudes being like, I want to buy your feet. And it's like,
no,
what?
I want to buy your feet?
Not even a fetish I know of. What is this? I wouldn't recommend it.
You can't afford them, sir. Never.
Maybe I'm just lucky in this. I feel like there's queer bars that it's just kind of like the trans corner of them. Like Hungry Tiger in Portland was always the one I'd go to, and there'd always be like a little cluster of trans folks there, like trans punks hanging out at this one table under a heat lamp, trying not to freeze to death because none of us had food, and we were just eating entirely alcohol. And cuddling for warmth. It's a great time.
That sounds really nice. Yeah.
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 Sounds good.
Or in
some
Omaha.
Of us came out right before a national pandemic happened, so we haven't really had that experience.
Well,
yeah.
You can look
well,
forward
I hope you'll
to
get
it.
That. Come visit me in Omaha. We can go to the tavern. It's really close to where I live, and it's got a bunch of trans folks that hang out there when it's not a plague. That's how I met a bunch of the trans folks I know here. They're just hanging out at the tavern, which is my favorite local, technically not a queer bar, but it's a queer bar.
It's been co-opted.
That's what it is. Because we are huge nerds, we have four categories for us to put things into. The categories are headcanon, things that are just trans because we want them to be, major gender stuff, lots of gender things happening, but not necessarily transgender things happening, all but explicit. Literally, the only thing missing is the use of the labels. That would be appropriate for the time. And literally trans. It's a literally trans story with trans elements described in the trans language of the time. Henry, where do you think this belongs?
I think it's all but explicit. And I'm mainly saying this because of the TikTok that explains more in detail how, like, the thing where, like, there's a scene where his parents have all this girl stuff that used to belong to Timmy, and, like, how Cosmo gets upset when, like, there's a possibility of outing. Like, that stuff makes a lot of sense to me. And I think, in terms of the show, in the same way, like, that Dipper is sort of, like, feels all but explicit to me, I think it's fair to say. Because there is a lot of, like, gender politicking going on. And Timmy isn't an average kid. You know? He's trans. So, yeah.
Wait, are trans kids not average?
I mean, they can be, but, like, I like to think we're
hopefully
more than
excel.
Average. Better than average.
We are so superior.
I like to think that trans supremacy is real and that we will take over the Earth, so, yeah.
Hashtag Force Femme America.
A lot
hashtag
of bold claims.
Magneto is right.
That's what we're all
episode.
About here. What do you think, Ada? Where does it fall?
Yeah, I'm going to say that it's major gender stuff because there's a lot of gender stuff happening, but I don't think it's, at least intentionally, gender trans things. I think it doesn't which I guess it isn't always. The other categories are intentional. A lot of times they're unintentional. I think it's just like there's just a lot of confused thoughts about gender. And especially considering that this comes up with both Timmy and Danny on Danny Phantom. And I've not watched the one with the, is it called Tough Puppy? There's no way that's not Trains of Hell.
Just in the title.
Yeah, I think it's like there's a lot of gender stuff going on inside Butch Hartman's head that he maybe isn't articulating or capable of articulating and just kind of bubbling under the surface. But to me, that more boils down to like major gender stuff. Like there's a lot of going on, but it doesn't necessarily all fall into like direct trans parallels. But in this episode, it's very trans feeling, I guess.
Yes.
Katie.
Yeah, I agree. I would have to say major gender stuff. I think like it's exploring a lot of stuff, and like obviously, you know, Cosmo carrying a baby is got to be somewhere a little bit on that boundary. But it's I think definitely it's hard to say it's all but explicit for me, at least. Thank you for listening to this episode of Totally Trans, Searching for the Trans Canon.
We have a Patreon that can be found at patreon.com/totallytrans. If you back us at $3 or more per month, you can access our bonus episodes, the most recent of which is us talking with last week's excellent guest, Harmony Colangelo. Also, if you back us at $2 or more per month, you can access all of our episodes 1 week early.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts because we live in a cyberpunk nightmare oligopoly.
Join us next week when we will be watching and discussing Repo, a genetic opera.
Totally Trans, Searching for the Trans Canon is co-hosted by me, Henry Jardina, and you can find me on Twitter at Punk Groucho. You can also find me at intomore.com, where I'm the editor.
Also co-hosted by me, Ada Rose Short, who can be found on Twitter at the Ada Rhodes. That is the _ADA_RHODES.
And co-hosted by me, Katie Coleman. You can find me on Twitter at Katie of the Lake.
All quotes and audio clips are being used under fair use.
I think that use was very fair, don't you?
And our season 3 theme music is an open question, only to be answered by the passage of time and the magic of editing.
We'll put a link in the description to the music.
Until next week, keep searching.
I believe she's Rainbow Dash.
Oh. No, she's not.
I don't know.
I think she's the bookie one. I don't
is
think
she Twilight
Rainbow
Sparkle?
Dash is the sporty one. Twilight Sparkle, that's what she is. Yeah. But...